So there is a place of patience and consolation, but then eventually, sometimes when things are so set and they're so entrenched, God calls men to action. I throw that in there because I don't want you to become unbalanced. Because Paul lived in a particular time and he was speaking to a particular group of people. That's what you understand about these different letters. He's dealing with a specific church that had a specific set of problems. Right? And there are principles which we will take away from that. Certainly the first 11 chapters are just all doctrine that never changes. But then there are other things spoken that, you know, we don't really have a lot. I mean, there are some people out there who are worried about food, right? And they're still worried about days. And you think, wow, you know, but it's kind of a novelty because that went away for over 1,000 years. People were all like, well, Saturday. Sunday. We all worship on Sunday. And that in itself became a law to people. Right? And they forgot, Sunday became the new Saturday. But it was never so to be. Same thing with this, so things become entrenched. They've got to be shaken up. Okay? Because we live in such a perilous time. It's different than when Paul lived. He was bringing the gospel to people who never heard it. And coming out of that, people receiving it, coming out of it, right? And so I still think the principles hold true. But I also don't want to overemphasize it to the point where people begin to become timid about exercising their liberty in Christ. Careful. But on the other hand, quench not the Spirit. So sometimes you let the reproaches fall. The other times the zeal of his house eats you up. And you rip down those tables, turn them over. There's always two sides, not always, but I mean, there's many times there's two sides to the way you handle things. You put up with it. God puts up with it. He has patience, right? God has long suffering. He suffers long, but he doesn't suffer eternally. See, eventually, he says enough is enough. Just like if you have someone come into your church and he starts trying to bring everyone into bondage. Maybe you bear with him for a while, but if he starts overthrowing the faith of other people, then you've got to prune that branch off. And Paul in his other letters, which I'm probably going to cover all of them, or at least the shorter ones, in relatively quick fashion, hopefully after this book, we're going to go to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and we'll take on the shorter epistles, and then we'll get a gospel in after we've gone through some of the shorter books to try to get a nice foundation laid here for this series I'm doing. But whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So it's not about pleasing yourself. It's about doing what is right in the sight of God, right? Being mindful of the love of God towards your brother who is weak, and of the long suffering of God which leads you to repentance, but also to the needs of your other brethren who might be sucked in by a brother who is weak, and maybe he's becoming overpowerful in the church, or doing things that are unprofitable. Not to we receive them, but not to to judgment, where they start judging everything in the church. Condescend for a while, nurse them along, bear their infirmities, right? We bear it, but eventually everyone's got to bear their own burden. And the infirmities of the weak ought to be strengthened. So we through patience, and it has nothing to do with how many gifts you have or how smart you are. A person of a very simple mind can be very strong in the faith. So the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. What? Whatever was written was for our learning. We learn from what Paul... The things he just wrote, well, let's learn from them. But not to the exclusion of all the other things that are written in the Word. And see, that's what I bring when I teach. I'm not just teaching this, though I'm focusing on what Paul... I'm trying to instruct you in what Paul is saying right here in the book of Romans. But I cannot ignore all the other counsel of Scripture. And that is how a true teacher brings forth the truth, is that they are well instructed of God, by the Spirit, in the Word of God, and then they bring forth the Word. And I'm going to do this line by line so that you can say, I want to learn the book of Romans. Well, I'm going to teach you the book of Romans, and I'm going to teach you the book of Thessalonians. We're going to learn together. Like I said, I learn more than anyone when I do this. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. We got the hope. Remember what hope meant? It's something we are expecting in the future. And how do we know what we're expecting? We look in the Scriptures, and that's what gives us hope. Because you know why? Scriptures give me hope because the Scriptures say the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That means I'm going to have those things. So I have hope that righteousness and peace and joy is going to be part of my life. I have those things? Yes. But not to the fullness I expect. I expect more. No, I expect it to shine brighter and brighter to the perfect day. Now, verse 5. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. See, because you can't even have this mind in you unless God grant it to you. And everything is like that. Unless God gives it. You know, I mean, you know, the thing is, here's the thing. If you're a jerk to your brethren, you got to get down on your knees. You better pray that God is going to help you change. Because he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's what the Apostle John said in 1st Epistle of John chapter 3. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You like Cain, child of Satan, in the spirit. According to Jesus Christ, see, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we all be like him, be like one mouth, the mouth of Christ. Truly, when we you know how we become the body of Christ, when we're all like Christ, we all become like him, and we have one mouth. My mouth is the mouth of Christ. Your mouth is the mouth of Christ. We speak with one mouth. You understand? One mind. We think alike. Because I have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ? Yes, I have the mind of Christ. Well, see, we think alike. When I speak, and the thoughts of you line up with the thoughts of me, see, we are coming into the likeness of Christ together. Unless I be not of the mind of Christ, in which case we won't have the same mind if you're of Christ.